Thanks to Bespoke Post for supporting the morning stream. Bespoke Post is a monthly subscription service that sends themed boxes. They partner with small businesses and emerging brands to bring you unique items every month. To get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up, go to boxofawesome.com and enter the promo code TMS at checkout. Coming up on TMS, grazing the nuts of Jimmy Stewart.
Fetching foreskins.
Her bosoms are fantastic.
One skin, two skin, blue skin, foreskin.
Colonoscopy watch 2021.
Dickens and chickens and foreskin bags.
Casual shirtless Santa.
Our time of the month with Gidget.
Down under, they just send in poop samples.
The Rankin Bass weed smoking puppet guys.
Heretic palindrome.
Nothing was odd until I heard the door knock.
A combination of Uncle Joel and a guy from the mall.
Sinbad life choices.
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Those freaking Doritos just put me at the end of one end of the table, set me up with a great big shovel, and just shovel it in my big damn mouth. I'll be happy. Yum, yum, yum. You're making me hungry. Yum.
Why does every NFT look like it should be a sticker on a bong?
Ladies, we heard you. This is the morning stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It is Thursday, December 2nd, 2021. I'm Scott and he's Brian.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, it's a true,
so serious,
true palindromic date today. So let's loot the numbers here. 12,
yeah.
02, 21. Now, if I look at that.
Oh, I see you're saying. Yeah, okay. If you do the, right, with the 02, sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, look at that. So we still have, we yet have another cool date that we can remark on.
No, wait a minute. 12, 02, 21. No, because it's not palindromic, because it would need to be 12, 202. 21 to be palindromic.
Well, let's do it like the British do it. So they go.
Okay.
How do they do it?
They would go 2, 12, 21.
Does that work?
No.
2, 12, 20, 21. Wait. 20, 21. Wait, how come this isn't. I just saw this.
You know what? If you do it as 1202, 2021, yes. Okay, that's it. If you fully spell out the year 2021.
Yeah. I was thinking that. You'd have to do that. You have to go and you have to put a zero in for a digit. So, yeah, that is palindromic, right?
That is palindromic. 12022021.
All right. We did it. We figured it out.
Yep. It totally works.
It works. You're all better for knowing it. All right. Hey, what's going on,
everybody? Sorry, I was seeing 12-20-21 or 12-02-21 in the chat. I'm like, no, that's not a true palindrome.
Nope. It's not as palindrome.
Or even a false palindrome.
No, it's the untrue. It's the false. It's the heretic palindrome. All right. Hey, check this out, Brian. You're in my dreams. All right? You're in my dreams.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear about this?
I don't know if I do, just because of what I'm already reading in the show notes, but please.
All right. So this was a very, very weird one. Because here's how it worked. It felt as real as anything ever because I wasn't in a strange place. I was at home. Kim was there. Dogs were there. It felt normal. Like nothing weird. Like some of your dreams, sometimes you're like, well, it's all normal, except there's a giant monkey living in the bathroom or whatever. You know, like there's some odd thing going on.
Sure. Yeah.
Nothing got odd until I heard the door knock. So kink, kink, kink. I hear the door knock in this dream. I go to the door. And again, real as anything. It's like mid-afternoon. Sun's out. I can see it through the windows. Here's where things get weird. I open the door. And now I'm in what I can only describe as you know, San Francisco houses downtown, they're very close to each other and they're all kind of like that tall,
like the painted ladies, the famous ones you see at the beginning of any show that takes place in San Francisco. I think Too Close for Comfort used those in the opening titles.
Yep. And the Full House, I think, did it as well. Like townhome looking, but all stacked together and multicolored, like you're talking about.
Yep. Yeah.
For some reason, when I opened the door, if I look to the left or I look to the right, as far as the eye can see, I mean, literally off into the horizon line, we are all in these kinds of homes.
Okay. All right.
On the other side of the street, same thing running parallel. So it's just endless, though. Just a road.
An infinite row of those houses
forever.
Okay.
So all just right. Try to imagine that. It's kind of intense. It's like, whoa, that's a really, and I remember in the dream feeling that this is unusual. Like, whoa, that's really weird. Here's where things get weird and how you come in. I open the door and it's you. You're there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're standing there, and I'm not kidding, in like some brown khaki pants, Birkenstock sandals with socks on. Okay.
Okay. All right.
No shirt, but you're wearing suspenders, like, you know, like casual Santa Claus looking kind of guy. You got suspenders on, but you're shirtless, and you have one of your hats on that you do for game shows and stuff, like a goofy hat, like a funny hat. Well,
a silly, funny hat. Funny hat.
Yeah. So that's you, and over your shoulder, left side, I guess, doesn't matter, you're holding a giant bag full of something.
Oh, God.
And okay. You're at the door, and I go, oh, hey, what's up? And you say, I'm here for the foreskins. That's exactly what you said. I'm here for the foreskins.
There are foreskins.
And in my dream, I went, oh, hold on a second. And I ran back to get wherever I got foreskins. This doesn't make any sense, but I got some foreskins. Plural, by the way. Plural.
Yeah, yeah.
Came back to the door and threw them in your bag, almost like you were a trick-or-treater or something. And then you moved on to the next door. Knock, knock, knock. Hi, I'm here for the foreskins. Right. They gave you
just
some foreskins.
Right down the long row of houses collecting.
Yeah. And in the dream.
You're playing way too much Animal Crossing.
Maybe. Mean, there's something. Yeah. There's some collecting thing going on. I don't know. But you went down forever. And the way the dream worked, it was as if I watched you do all the houses, even though it's not possible. But in the dream, wow. Somehow. Yeah. And it was just so repeated. Brian at the door. Knock, knock, knock. I'm here for the foreskins. People bring you foreskins. They put them in your bag. You keep moving down the thing. And this is about the time I woke up. After all of this transpired, I wake up at about 2 o'clock last night. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, I got to pee and, you know, whatever. I get up and do my thing and come back to bed. And I couldn't go back to sleep because this vision of you,
collecting
shirtless
foreskins,
and these things collecting foreskins just really, really, really stuck with me. And to this minute, it's very vivid. This is one of those dreams where I cannot forget what I saw.
Bring out your skins!
So if you had to, I'm not even going to let Wendy have a crack at it. If you had to try
Oh, I was going to say, whatever we had planned for Wendy, I think we're pushing that off a week.
What do you think it is, though? Like, what do you think
my
I'm
God.
Thinking?
All right, well, let's kind of break it down. I mean, because I think the row of houses all looking the same is something we can analyze in and of itself, right? It's right. Like it's kind of got its own little thing. No pun intended.
It was so matter of fact, by the way. You weren't like, oh, I'm here for those foreskins or I'm here for foreskins. Yeah. It was just this.
Right, right. It's like, yeah, hey, it's Tuesday, here for the foreskins.
Yeah, yeah. Very casual, very normal. The whole row of houses just ready with their foreskins and then get it going.
Good Lord. I have no idea. Actually, that might be, yeah. You know what? Where's your book?
Not
your cards. The dream cards. Hold on. Because let's start with the, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's not a card in there that says foreskins.
No.
There is probably body parts, somebody collecting or seeing body parts or something like that. But,
See, there's shopping. There's
but the repetitive houses, like being in a like a row of repetition.
Let's see, transport. That isn't a word. Flying without wings. No. At a glance, nothing here about repetition. There's accidents.
Okay.
Aliens. Sexual nature. Unable to find a bathroom. Hold on here. One more try down this list here. Okay, that looks... Buildings.
Buildings. All right.
All right. Let's see what this means. If it has any connection here. It's as close as I've got.
Yeah.
Buildings tend to represent your sense of self.
Oh, okay.
The plurality.
Do you feel like you're just a cog in an endless Spotify 2021 machine?
Feels like it. Man, those things are ugly, aren't they? Those things people posted? Freaking ugly.
Yeah.
Nice GeoCities art. Anyway.
Right, yeah.
Say, pay attention to what kind of building it is. If it's a home or a house, this suggests that your personal life is your paramount concern at the moment. If it's an office or factory, professional life is what... Okay, so if you're inside, on the ground floor, generally the main floor, blah, blah, blah. Okay, being outside the building may convey a feeling of being detached. Well, I'm not out there. You are.
You were inside the building.
Yeah, you were out there. It wasn't me. Any stairs? No. Yeah, this isn't it.
Okay.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. Man. These are hard.
Yeah,
to,
I couldn't even begin to analyze that one. That feels like, I mean, foreskins. What way were you? I mean, I know I've been watching Big Mouth, and
right
before bed,
season.
It's just like watching an hour of cartoon people talking about dicks and vaginas and stuff like that.
I have not seen anything on that show for a long time.
Andrew.
Yeah, I liked. Yeah. Is it Jocelyn on there? You guys. I don't know her name.
Fuglio.
Whatever her name is. Yes, I love Lola. Nick Kroll's version of that woman.
Totally. Yeah. How she ends her things. Noah.
There's like a huge at the end. Is it Lola? Yeah. Okay.
Lola. Yeah.
Anyway,
I said that like three times.
Of course, Claire knows. you said Lola? I missed it.
I said Lola like three times.
Well,
yes.
On air light. There you go, folks. There it is. Anyway, I have no idea. I have no idea what to say about it. I don't know what happened. Just you're getting foreskins. What you're going to do with them, you didn't say. As far as I know in the dream, there's no
apparently
indication.
Apparently, I'm probably going to use them for stem cell research or...
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. There's some good genetic code in them foreskins. So,
there is.
All right. If anyone has any thoughts, your email challenge for today. We need an email challenge.
If I rub that bag, does the bag get bigger?
No. The bag remains the same.
Okay.
No, I don't know. Actually, that's a good point. The bag you were carrying, though, I will say this. It did seem big and heavy and hefty.
Yeah. Carrying it. We did talk about sausages a lot yesterday, so maybe that's it.
Oh, that could be it. So your email challenge today, everybody, is to send me an email telling me what you think it is, or where you think this is from, and why the hell it got said the way it said. Why things happen in the dream that it happened. So send me your emails, let me know, and we'll let you know. Here's a sound for it. Hold on.
And speaking of rude.
No, that's not it.
Let me see your identification.
No!
We don't need to see his identification.
What?
That's a lot of Star Wars, but...
That's not it at all.
Send and receive email.
There you go. There's our
intro. There's the email. Wow.
Send us your emails. Tell me what you think of this dream. We'll try to make sense of it together. All right.
Cool.
Brian, what else is going on over there? My gosh, you're fasting now.
I am. I'm 24 hours away from the colonoscopy.
Yeah.
It'll be a whole different bag of fun in about 24 hours. So I've begun the breakfast this morning. Was a lovely... beef broth because I couldn't find the chicken broth.
Mm.
I was like, oh God, this sucks. I hated that already.
Yep.
Followed by some Jell-O. I just wanted some Jell-O, really.
You
was
can
the
do
deal.
Jell-O. Sure. I like Jell-O.
Totally did some Jell-O. Yeah. And now I'm drinking, instead of coffee, I'm doing Harvest Gold from Gwen's Tea Shop.
Oh, nice. A clear
Phoenix
tea.
Pearl tea. Mm-hmm. Harvest Gold. The orange rooibos with the cinnamon.
Nice.
Man, this is awesome.
It is a good tea.
Claire, I can have coffee, but I can't put any cream in it. It would just be coffee black with Splenda. And I said, you know what? I'll do tea today.
Yeah. And for folks at home, Claire is in our chat room. That's who he is. He didn't.
Oh,
just,
yes. I'm sorry.
There's not a third person on the show that he just yelled out at and said, Claire. So how do you feel? Because I know that's not your normal routine. You're probably a little, I don't know.
A little weak, a little hazy, hearing you having microphone issues before the show and stuff like that, it's like, yeah, I feel like that's just going to be nom de rigueur for me today. I feel like it's going to be in the cards. But we'll see how it's great that we have Gidget on with trivia today because, I feel like I'm going to be at a big disadvantage.
No kidding. This will really be to my side
hazy.
If I can take advantage of it. So,
yeah, exactly.
Or maybe you're just like me normally now. I don't know. Maybe now we're equal and we'll be
right?
just as
no.
dumb as each other. No. We'll find out soon enough. But, good. So, 24 hours from now, you'll
24
be
24 hours from now, I will be out cold. My procedure is at 9 o'clock. Our time, mountain time. So that is 24, just 23 and a half hours from now.
You got Tina taking, she needs a recording equipment.
Yes. She is not recording. That is
man.
The
Tina, send me a thing. We'll hook up and we'll do this. We got this. We gotta, you know, that guy on Twitter lied. We need some equivalent out of Brian.
Yeah, we need some more of those. I don't know.
I just need to know what you say. What does Brian say when he is completely knocked out on fentanyl or whatever it is they give people now?
Yeah,
I want to know.
Yeah,
I want to know what you say.
I'd be afraid. Well, you know, as long as I get first edits before anybody hears them.
What if you say?
Because I don't want to be talking about how I probably could have had that anesthesiologist if I wanted her.
But what if you said, what if you went, oh, Tina, I need to go get all the foreskins, get my bag. I got to get the foreskins.
Then how did Scott know about my secret foreskin fetish? My secret foreskin bag. How did he know?
Yeah, I keep telling us you have a whole room for 3D printing, but what the truth is there's a whole room full of foreskins
for his victims. Right, yeah.
All right.
Well, Potatoes in the chat room probably says it. It has it right. I'll come out of my fog or be in my fog going, you know, that first album release by the Beatles was actually supposed to be intended for just a U.S. release, but they added 3 tracks to make it the U.K. release. Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be great as if they played like one of those songs that no one knows is a cover, but you know it's a cover, and they play it during the procedure because, you know, doctors have music going, and then you come out and go, that was Stray Cats. That's a cover. Stray Cats did it, but it was originally a girl.
You know what I mean? Right. Yes.
That'd be great if you corrected the doctor. Well, good luck, and may your insides be like your outsides, shiny and bright and ready to rock.
Oh, well, I hope so. Yeah. Hope there are no beans where there are not supposed to be beans.
Well, the nice thing is if they catch any beans, they take them while they're in there.
Yeah.
And then you're good.
Analyze the beans. Yeah, sure.
Then they'll look at the beans. They might look at the beans, but they, you know,
right.
You'll have no beans. So.
Sure.
All right. It's a good reminder. They told me 55 was my next one.
Yeah.
I'm still a ways off, but.
Yeah. So far, I mean, you know, it is what it is. It's not fun. The whole broth thing. I'm, you know, I'm a guy who likes to eat. Obviously, yeah. I like to eat.
You like food. Yeah,
I do. I like food. I like tangible food, liquid food.
Yeah, you want to eat food, and why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want food in your mouth? That's what people want. I'm hoping this is quick and easy, and you don't have any issues. Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of issues, we're gonna bring in our old pal Gidget.
Speaking of issues,
in the best possible kind. Let's see, create group. Here we go. All right, we're calling her. It's that time of the month, and we're gonna do some fun trivia. It's gonna be a great time. So everybody, sit back, relax, while I wait for her call to be answered. She might have to call the Colonel. Nope, there she is.
Trivial things.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show, Gidget von LaRue. Hi, Gidget.
Nothing. Well, we can see
Hang
you.
Hang on, I gotta meet you guys. Hang on, wait.
Oh, she has the chat open.
There we go.
Hi. Okay. Hey, what are you doing?
You can listen to the show and listen to us in Discord at the same time.
No, that's right.
I know, it's weird. It was, yeah.
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 Well, welcome. How the heck are you doing?
I had a huge fall down the back stairs onto concrete a week and a half ago.
What?
Oh, no.
That's not good. Are you all right?
Yeah. We've had heaps of rain, and we haven't done the back of our house, and we've got this huge line of stairs that we go down into our backyard, and it's got a concrete block, and I just took one step and I actually tumbled and hit every part. So I hit my head, I split top of my lip.
Oh, geez.
I've got my first broken bone in my toe.
Really?
No.
Did my arm. I literally hit every part of my body. But apart from that, I'm great.
Okay.
Oh, God. So okay.
Other than that, everything's fine. Holy Moses.
Oh, and I chipped my tooth. Hang on.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I hit everything, but the only thing I broke was my toe. So that's my first break. I'm 51, and that's my first break I've ever had in my entire life.
Dang, dude. You should have been filming. You'd be a viral hit on YouTube or something by now.
I know. I know.
That streak is broken now. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What are we going to do?
Did you have a head injury earlier this year, too, or was it last year?
Yeah. I think it was last year. Yeah, I fell at my mum's mum's place and split my entire head open, and she was too drunk to take me to the hospital, so she just put me to bed, which is what you do when someone has a bad head injury passes out.
Yeah, you put them to sleep.
Make sure they lay down. Yeah, exactly.
If there's anything I've learned from all the movies.
It reminds me of that Robert Altman movie where her son, McDowell's son, gets hit by the car and she's like, oh, I just put him to bed, and then next thing you know, he's dead.
Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah. I've never seen a movie where they didn't say the words, don't go to sleep. They always say, don't fall asleep on me. Don't you go to sleep.
Yeah.
So tell your mom well done.
Your mom apparently didn't watch any of those.
I will not let that bitch forget that.
Hold that over her head till
She makes me pay for giving birth to me, and I will make her regret ever just putting me to bed after a bad hand injury. Oh, so
all right, okay. Well, good. Yeah. Someone has to do it. It's good to have you here, of course, and as always, you've come to us bearing trivia. We're going to have a little contest here, and my understanding is these are going to be Christmas movies, given your cinephile status. So that'll be fun. Let's do that. Why don't we do that?
Yeah.
I think so. And we sort of gave up on the whole multiple choice thing. So I'm going for your throats on this one. Oh, and can I say, Scott, because I was like listening beforehand.
Yeah.
My basic explanation of dreams, and I think I've told you this before, because I have the weirdest dreams. Like even David Lynch should be like, shit, girl, you are messed up. But basically, for me, dreams are insanity of all our memories. We cannot control our thoughts when we're asleep.
Oh, okay. So you think, okay, that's interesting. So we'd be insane without
we are all insane because people like serial killers and psychos, they don't dream. So that's weird. So if you don't dream, you're probably going to kill somebody.
Yeah, it's
if you don't dream, it's over.
Yeah, it's our nice
but if
brain.
if you have dreams, it's basically your brain while you're asleep. No, I missed it. Sorry.
I got it.
I said, if you don't dream, it's over.
Yeah. Dream it. Hey now. Yeah. Hey now. Yeah. All right. So, good. I'm glad because I dream a lot, and that means I might be a complete psycho in my real life if I didn't dream so much. So that's good.
That's exactly right. And the other thing that I heard is you never dream about new people. You always dream about someone, whether you've had them in your life, you've seen them in a movie, seen them in a TV show, encountered them in a supermarket, but you actually never make up real people, but you can combine people.
I think I've done that.
A combination of people.
That makes sense.
Like an amalgamation of everyone I've ever known. Like those streets in my dream this morning.
Correct.
People had their head poking out and stuff. They weren't people I knew, but they were probably some combo of, you know, that's Uncle Joel and a guy I saw at the mall, you know, together.
Combined, yeah.
That's exactly. You probably, when you were sleeping, felt they were familiar to you, but you couldn't quite pinpoint it because they were actually a combination, or they changed during your dream. They were 1 minute your uncle and next minute some guy you met in a supermarket. So
science correspondent, TMS science correspondent Bobby Frank says it is a myth that psychopaths don't dream. There are many reports of people with psychopathy. Can't get it out of my ass or my mouth. Ugh, that's the problem. It's not in my ass. It's in my mouth. Anyway, that's interesting. Also, Tally says weed suppresses REM sleep. I didn't know that. That's interesting. So, Brian, slow down on the weed, man.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, wait. So does that mean
weed is legal where you guys live, right?
It is where I live, yes.
Yeah. All the states next to me are legal, mostly, except for Idaho and Wyoming. But everybody else down here on this curve, 100% legal. states beyond, you know, I can go to Oregon, I can go to California, Nevada. They're all good. Nope. Mm-hmm. We'll be the last one, dude. When state number 50 finally rolls over, it'll be us. I promise. Anyway.
It's crazy because that time I was in Vegas for you guys for TMS and you guys all finished and I had another 2 days there. So I went to like the shooting range. I went to the mob museum. You know, I tried to get around and like do all these different things just by myself. Yeah. And then when I went to buy my cigarettes, they were just selling them and it's not usually my thing. But I was like, well, it's legal and it's there.
Yeah.
So you went cigarettes as opposed to going edibles.
Yeah.
I went a doobie.
Yeah, you got a doobie. Yeah. You want to pass it on the left-hand side. I get it.
I went a doobie brothers.
That's right. Well, here we go then.
And good luck, Brian, by the way, before I forget, good luck with your operation. And what is it, colonoscopy?
Yeah, because I know in Australia, you guys just, what, send in your poop samples or something, right? And they analyze it every year or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this in America, we like to just get our hands in there and really get in there and look. It's a camera going up my butt is basically what it is.
Yeah, it's right up your hooter.
Oh, my ex-husband had that done, but that was way, way back in the early 90s. But now they just send out this kit that you can, that the guys can just do it. And all I can say is it's payback for us women having to get periods every bloody month.
They have a kit? Hold on. There's a kit?
Yeah, they send you a kit. You poop in the kit and send it back. Yeah, Tina's got other friends in Australia who are telling us about this.
It's wow.
Yeah, you just take a swipe and put it in a test tube thing. My partner Colonel hasn't done it because he doesn't want to know. So
yeah, but that's different. But that's different than like exploring the organs. Like I don't know if that's the same procedure. I think that does a whole different. That checks for other stuff, right? I don't think it's
it has to check for this stuff.
Yeah, but they're not. Well, I think you do want to know, so if you catch it early, you can not have it. That's the idea.
I don't know how poop is going to tell if you have a polyp in your colon or something. Yeah.
I'm going to burn out and fade away like the Kurgan. I just don't want to know.
You don't want to know.
You know that stuff, then you're like, oh, I'm doomed. And it's like, no, it's fine if, you know.
That's why you do
like
it early.
I'm just going to burn out.
That's why you do it early. It's preventative. So you go in, they go, oh, we found a polyp that would have developed into this tumor, but we got it now. You're all good. And see you later. See you in 5 years. Like, that's what you're hoping for. If you put it off forever, then you go in and they go, ah, there's a thing the size of a gopher in here and you're going to die. Like, you want to go in early.
But I just wouldn't go in. So then you don't know. So
I got that.
You're like washing the dishes and you just fall over dead. And you're like, well, that was my life.
Yeah. Right. That's one way of looking at it, I guess.
I know it's insane, but I am blonde. So, you know.
Well, that's... Yeah, there's something to that. You know, guys typically are known for putting off going to the doctor as long as possible until their arm is basically falling off, held on by one tendon. So it's kind of along those same lines. Like, if I need to go, I'll go, but I don't need to go. Kind of thing.
Yeah,
I can't get Colonel to the doctor to save his life.
Yeah,
literally. I'll be going to the dentist to fix the chip there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, I got you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, trivia.
So, I don't know who won last time and I don't care, so I'm going to kick off with Brian.
That's fine. I won last time, but Brian should start because I won last time.
Yeah. I'm hiding the chat room, so.
Oh, yeah. There we same. Go. Get rid of it. All right, it's gone.
It's all right, chat room. I can still read you. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm ready.
Ready.
And I read all of you after I finished recording, so don't worry
about
it.
She writes down your names and what you said about her.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Okay. All right. So, Brian, all right. So, this is just flat-out answer. All right. What is the name of the Christmas-celebrating village in Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas with Jim Carrey?
That would be Whoville.
That would be correct.
Congratulations on the quick answer. You. Very nice.
Well... I could have played it up and said, well, let's see. There's, the Cindy Lou Who.
Let's just get on with things.
Let's just get that camera up there and look for
you. Yeah, you got some anal play coming up. So you're just like, just get on with it. All right.
Just move on.
That's right, yes. Okay, Scott.
Yeah.
Okay, in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, what does Del Griffith, John Candy, sell?
Shower curtain rings.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. That is exactly the right answer.
Nice.
That's right.
Nice. Yep. Not technically a Christmas movie, but I take it. It's still very festive. So, yes.
That's right. I sort of did. That was Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. It still works.
Still has a turkey.
It still works.
We don't do that stuff here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it still works.
Holiday season.
Yeah. And when when he gets home and they're carrying the thing and he sees his wife and it's all weird and everything and they're playing that horrible cover. That's that they got lights
up when he's on the train and he suddenly realizes he puts all the pieces together and suddenly realizes how lonely Del keeps talking about his wife all the time. Mm-hmm. And if you don't cry in that part, there's something wrong with you because it's just so. And then he goes back to get him and
it's amazing. But the point is, when they get there, there's lights up, so it's kind of Christmas, is my point. So you're good,
correct? Right.
Good point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, Brian.
Yes.
In Trading Places, what report are the Brothers Duke trying to obtain early to corner the market?
Oh, I've only ever seen this movie once. Once.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's so good.
So I know good. It is a really good movie. I enjoy it. Oh, it's not that I didn't enjoy it. I just
Jamie Lee Curtis's this. Bosoms, they're fantastic. Yes.
I think those are the reasons I watched it.
That's the reason anyone watched it. I don't care, male or female. You're just like, they're outstanding.
So what report? I know it was a stock market thing. I'm thinking it is cattle futures.
No, Scott?
If my memory serves, it was orange juice or oranges? Orange
frozen
juice.
Frozen concentrated orange juice. That well is an done. Absolute correct answer. Stolen well done. By Scott.
I've seen nice that movie steal. A lot, so yeah, I knew
steal.
It was.
Steal. I'm going to write that down. Steal.
Good steal. It was a very good steal.
Thank you.
Okay. Scott, what breed of dog does Cousin Eddie and Catherine own when they visit the Griswolds in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation?
What breed?
What breed?
Yeah. Well, he's like a little. Oh, geez.
No, he's not little.
Isn't he?
So there's the cat and there's the squirrel. And what breed of dog?
And the dog peed on the sandwiches, right?
Mm-hmm. No,
that was the first movie. Vacation. That was Vacation. Yeah, and that was
Christmas Vacation.
Right, that was What's Christmas Vacation. Dog, too.
Got it. Rottweiler, then, I think.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. Snot, I believe, is his name.
Yeah, I think of the one in the first one. He was a little tiny furball dog that peed on the sandwiches, and that's a totally different thing. All right.
And Clark ends up tying it to the back bumper bar and dragging.
He probably kept up with you for a mile or two.
Yeah. For a mile or two. Yeah. And then Chevy Chase is acting just while the cop is explaining it. It's just great. He's just like, oh. But he's part of him. He's just like, Binky.
Yeah.
That was his name, Binky.
I think the Colonel's downloading Netflix or something. Something's going on over there.
I think so. Yeah, you got all choppy
coming
all of a sudden.
Coming in all choppy. Yeah. You're fine, though. Keep going.
Yep. Okay, Brian.
Yes. That was, that's right. This is,
Yeah.
Brian, all right. Sorry. Yep. So number five, who plays Claire Phillips, Frank Cross's, Bill Murray's long-lost love in the film Scrooged?
Oh, Scott's favorite movie of all time. His favorite Christmas
movie
of all time.
I made sure you got this one rather than Scott.
Yeah. Okay.
Is she asking actress or the character?
The actress. The actress. Who plays her?
She plays Claire Phillips.
It's been a long time since I've seen this one, too, because Scott's worded me off of it for the last several years.
Oh. You sheep, you.
It is, for some reason, I think I remember blonde, curly hair. I'm going to say, no? Okay, well.
You're thinking of me.
For some reason, I'm seeing blonde, curly hair. It's because I'm looking at Discord.
Looking right at her, yeah.
I'm going to say, I know it's wrong. I'm going to say Glenn Headley.
No, yeah, she was Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Okay, Scott, you want to give it a go?
Of course she was, yes.
Duh. All I can think of is Groundhog Day lady. It's not her, is it? Andy McDowell? It's not Andy McDowell.
Is it Andy McDowell? No? Okay.
No, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Karen Allen.
Oh, Karen Starman. Allen!
Karen Allen.
Right. I forgot she did that. Oh, the poor thing. That movie's bad. All right, continue on.
You're weird. Okay, Scott?
Yeah.
Okay, in the 2003 film Elf, where does Santa's sleigh crash in New York City?
Don't
say Twin Towers.
No, definitely not that. Plus, this was post 9/11, I think, that movie.
It was very much.
Yeah. Let's say, Times Square, maybe? I don't know, actually.
Okay, Brian.
Central Park.
Oh,
that is
shit.
Correct. It's a steal.
I should have known that.
It's a steal-a-rama.
Yeah.
I should have known that. One.
That's a movie we watch every year.
Yeah, that movie's great.
Elf is lovely. Mm-hmm. It's just a charming film and. You know, Will Ferrell was perfectly cast, and I think that's what made the film and Jon Favreau directing it.
Yeah.
It's good. Okay.
By the way, Ed Asner as Santa is like inspired idea. It's an amazing idea.
Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
And Zooey Deschanel in that as well? Mm-hmm. She's got a very lovely voice.
As a blonde. Yeah.
Singing. She does the singing. And then you got your your Bob Newhart there
James
is the elf.
Con.
Yeah. And James Caan,
right,
of course.
Con. You
yeah.
got your Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, you got your whole deal, the whole schmear.
The whole
He's
deal.
An angry elf.
You know, the secretary is, what's her name? Her brother's the famous NPR, This American Life commentator guy.
Oh, right, Sedaris.
Amy Sedaris, she's
Amy
the secretary
Sedaris.
Of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look at all the things I know except for the Central Park bit.
Look at that, I know.
Because he gets chased by the Rangers in the black
yeah.
coats. Yep. Okay, Brian.
Yeah.
What is the name of the town Jack Skellington and various monsters and supernatural beings live in A Nightmare Before Christmas?
I think it's, my head is telling me it's Halloween Town, but let me think if I'm jumping too quickly to the wrong answer. I think it's Halloween Town.
That is correct.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Like, yeah, they're all town. Christmas Town, yeah. Halloween Town, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just watched it with Van.
Easterberg.
So yeah, I feel like I would have been. Yeah, Easterberg. That would Easterberg. Be great. They're, for a hot
Not
second.
Be confused with Westerberg.
Yeah, exactly. For a hot second, I'm watching it the other day with Van, and for a hot second, Jack Skellington looks at the door that would be the St. Patrick's Town.
Mm-hmm.
And right at that moment, I went, man, I'm glad you didn't open that one, dude. That would have sucked. No offense. No offense, Claire, or anybody from Ireland. I'm just saying it would have just... But what kind of movie is that? It would have been awful. So,
anyway. Right, yeah.
Scott hates everyone from Ireland.
No, all of them.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's going to come for me, she says. Oh, no.
Well, he won't friend them on... He won't friend them in Animal Crossing, so it's proven.
Yeah, it's proven.
There you go. The Irish are too drunk to rise up, so don't worry about it. It's all fine.
It'll be fine.
In high Ireland. Yeah. Okay, so this is Scott.
Yeah.
Okay, where are the McAllister family going to spend Christmas in the film Home Alone?
They are going... Oh, hold on. I think they're going to France.
City?
Paris.
Yes.
Okay.
Good job.
Paris, France.
I almost said New York, but that's the second movie.
That's the second one.
Yeah. And it really threw me for a second. But yes, Paris, France. All right.
That is correct. Yeah. Okay, Brian, what actor plays George Bailey in Frank Capra's 1946 classic Christmas film, It's a Wonderful Life?
It's hard.
Mary, you want the moon, Mary? I'll throw a lasso around the moon and get the moon for you.
You want the moon?
It's James Stewart, Jimmy Stewart.
That is correct. Yes.
Let me tell you about my dog. I wrote a poem about my dog.
Home cooking soup.
You're very good at doing voices, Brian.
He is. He's a great impressionist.
You may not be after your colostomy.
Oh, no. I just will only be able to do higher voices.
Yeah, you might be speaking like this all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Scott. Yeah. All right, number 10. In the film Gremlins... Mm-hmm. Mogwais have three rules. Mm-hmm. Do not expose them to light, especially sunlight.
Yeah.
Number two, no contact with water. Mm-hmm. What is the third one?
Oh, geez. I forgot there's a third one.
Three rules that make no sense whatsoever. They are the stupidest rules known to mankind.
Oh,
it's a fun movie.
Oh, shit. You feed them. You can't feed them after midnight. Can't feed them after midnight.
There you
yes.
go.
Damn it. Correct.
Whew. That hurt coming Ooh. Out.
That was close.
Oh, talk about your colonoscopy. That's what that felt like.
Ooh, yeah.
Get that out of my system.
Oh, I was hoping it wasn't going to come to you.
Oh, my gosh. We just saw
okay,
that one
Brian,
last year.
Number 11. What is the one thing Ralphie wants for Christmas in 1983's A Christmas Story?
How detailed do I need to be? Because it's a Red Ryder BB gun with like triple pump action.
That'll
some,
do. That'll
you know,
do.
The laser sight.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Nicely done.
Yeah, hang on. I can prove it to you.
Nice. Oh, look at this. It's all handwritten. Oh,
wow.
My gosh, dude.
Yeah.
Wow. Wait, hold on a minute.
Did I type it out?
I know you're from the 80s and you love the 80s, but are you still there?
I like writing. I think it's one of those things, if you give up doing it, you end up writing like a three-year-old.
You're
100%
correct.
You have really good handwriting, so it shows that you haven't lost that art.
You're 100%
you.
Correct. My wife's
there
the same way.
There's the previous questions.
Yeah, beautiful handwriting. Nicely done.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's very good. That's readable. I can read those words. I don't do that when I write.
It's like a manifesto or something.
No kidding.
Ooh. I'll be doing my manifesto later.
True crime.
Okay, Scott, 12. What is the toy Howard, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Myron, played by Sinbad, are trying to purchase for their sons in the film Jingle All the Way?
All right. Well, this is a bummer because I have never seen Jingle All the Way. I don't know why I never saw it. I just never did.
I saw it once when it came out and never felt like seeing it again.
I know enough about it to know it was some kind of action figure. You're probably not going to give me for that, so I'll just say action figure.
You got half of it. I'll throw it to Brian.
It's a superhero action figure that I'm never going to remember the name of this guy. He's red and blue.
Yeah.
Captain.
This is what stumped Colonel, because I tested on Colonel.
Oh, no,
this
he's like something
what
man.
Stumped him. Yeah.
Something
he said
man.
The same thing. Action man.
Action
I can
man.
See it.
Oh, yeah. It's not action man?
No. It's okay. It's something action man.
I would have said action man
right
before you said it.
All right. So does that mean neither of us got it? Is that what this means?
That means
neither of you got it. It's Turbo Man.
Now, let me show you the integrity right here. So last week on Guess the Connection, the prize was this pin right here, this Turbo Man action figure.
Oh man.
Which is sitting next to me on my desk. Yeah. And I know I knew it was there, and I purposefully did not look
good man,
over Ryan. To to see it.
You're a better hero than Turbo Man.
You know what it is,
Schwarzenegger and Sinbad should be fighting over me.
That's right. That's right.
You're just hungry.
We might be. Are we doing?
You're hungry. You're delusional. Oh. You don't know what to do. You're just
a little dazed.
Is that on our film sack list this month or not? I can't remember.
It is.
That's right.
I think it's after Alien 4.
Okay, so we're doing Alien 4 this weekend, and then we're doing Jingle All the Way, which I've never seen. So here we go.
Yeah. Me neither.
Yep. Hey.
Yeah.
Get me that action figure.
What would Sinbad say? My career's over. I'm just kidding.
Yes. Who am I?
Yeah, who am I? What am I doing here? All right.
Welcome to McDonald's. Can I take your order?
Oh, he's fine. He's got a new tour. Everyone calm
he's
down. Don't
fine.
Send emails.
He's fine. Fine.
Oh, but it's funny, right?
Yes.
All right, Brian.
Yes.
All right. Oh, this was the other one that stumped Colonel.
Oh, God.
Okay. What Muppet character plays Charles Dickens in 1992's film, The Muppet Christmas Carol?
Easy.
Oh, right. Yeah, because it's because it wasn't Kermit, even though you'd think Kermit would be the central. I think it's... My head's telling me Gonzo, but hold on a second. I want to make sure I'm not... Because there was that recent Haunted Mansion thing with Gonzo as the central character, and so I don't want to... Come back on that. I think it was Gonzo.
You're right. Gonzo. It is Gonzo.
That is correct. Gonzo the Great.
Yeah, good job.
And I like, in fact, because he plays Charles Dickens, and Gonzo the Great likes chickens.
Yeah.
Eh?
Yeah, Dickens and chickens.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. Blow your
coincidence?
Mind, eh? I think not.
We love that movie here. Not. We love it so much. We're going to watch it maybe twice this year. We love it.
Nice. Yeah. I imagine it's got to be on Disney Plus, right?
It is. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Really good transfer there, too. It's like the best version I've seen. I have it on DVD.
We've got quite a few. We've got Amazon Prime, and Amazon Prime in Australia has like really collected a whole heap of streaming services because Australians, small population, we don't have the access. Got Netflix. And then we had Disney for a while to watch The Mandalorian, and then we canned it because we actually found that the least effective streaming service. I'm just waiting for Mickey Mouse to come through the door and beat me over the head with a pole.
Well, if you're not huge into Star Wars and Marvel and stuff like that, then it's probably you're going to use that the least. I think we probably use it the most, at least right now we are, because that Beatles thing is on there. Mm-hmm. Hawkeye is on
there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We'll probably sign back up just to watch that, the Peter Jackson one. But
the
Jeff Goldblum one's coming back, Brian. Goldblum.
The world according to, you know, there's two. See, now I don't. It immediately goes into my Jimmy Stewart. My Jeff Goldblum grazes the nuts of
I love
Jimmy
that
Stewart.
First season, so I'm excited about that. That'll be great.
Yeah, me too.
All right, where were we now?
So who do you reckon? They've been asking this a lot on Twitter. So if they were to remake the Jimmy Stewart movie, who I mean, I'm not big on remakes. There's been some good ones, but who would you cast now as a modern day actor?
Tom Hanks 15 years ago. That's what I would have done.
Yeah.
Oh, good call.
That'd be good. Yeah. I mean, actually, boy, we were talking Jimmy or Jeff Goldblum. It's like, I could actually see him being.
I want him to be the angel, though. That's what I want.
Every time a bell rings.
Yeah, you're going to listen. Now, people love you.
Look at these glorious wings. Look at these beautiful wings. Look at these beautiful wings.
The wings are. Don't say Chris Pratt chat room. Please don't ever say that. Someone saying that? No. Hold on. There it is. Yep. Don't say Chris
Andy Samberg.
Oh, Andy Samberg.
Cause,
no.
Because he can do serious and funny.
All right. Who?
Oh, I watched that pop star one last night with him for the first time last night.
Stopping. Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on. And look, there was a couple of moments that I laughed at it, but I just went, this is Spinal Tap done for the modern ages, funny.
And not as well, yes.
Yeah, oh, the guy that played Nick on New Girl. Have him do it.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah.
Jake
something?
Schopenheimer, whatever it is. He should be in there. All right. Anyway, sorry. You were on a question.
Johnson? I think it's Jake Johnson.
That's right.
Johnson.
I actually said, someone said, who would you cast as the Burt Reynolds character in Smokey and the Bandit and the Cannibal Run? And I actually said Chris Pratt.
Oh,
well, that I could see. Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah, because he's got that sort of cheeky, quippy, you know.
Can you say?
Or Ryan Reynolds.
Or whatever. Yeah, Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. Oh, Ryan Reynolds would be good anyway.
Reynolds would be a great George Bailey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you're right.
I just rewatched Deadpool 2, and man, that guy can't do any, he can do no wrong.
I still haven't seen 2. I know.
What?
I know. I don't know why. My wife's seen it. I don't know how she saw it without
me. You've missed one of the greatest cameos in a non-Marvel movie. Non-MCU Marvel movie.
I need to just watch it.
I wasn't that big on Deadpool 2. I really love Deadpool 1. Like, love. But Deadpool 2, to me, I just think it lost the charm of the first one.
I don't know. I disagree. I think... having rewatched it recently, I feel like it breaks the wall in so many great ways that
I'm willing to rewatch it to see if maybe I was just in a crabby mood or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can't get that MCU movie that on happens. The MCU or on stream on Disney Plus. They don't have that one on there.
Not on Disney Plus, but it is on Hulu.
Is it? Okay. They've got it on their Touchstone network over there, streaming network.
Yes, right,
okay.
Exactly. It's our wicked stepchild streaming service.
I love that they do that. All right, sorry. Where were we? We're somewhere. We're almost done, aren't we? We got 2 minutes.
God, we're on 14.
How many more are there?
Oh, my God.
We're just a few minutes away from my colonoscopy.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, it doesn't go that long. All right, Scott.
Yeah.
All right, Willie T. Soak, played by Billy Bob Thornton, has a job as a department store Santa, but what is his real profession?
I love that movie, but I've only seen it twice. And I don't, it's real.
I mean, you don't love it that much then, do you?
Was he, he's not like a hitman or something, right? What am I thinking of?
Nope.
Okay. I don't.
Just tell me when you want to throw it.
He did something bad. It was something illegal. Like, I don't know. I give up. I don't know that one.
All right, Brian?
I don't know it either. My guess is taxi driver.
No, both wrong. Apparently not. He's a thief or a burglar.
Okay, so Skell is right.
Oh, he's a burglar.
He runs the team with the little guy that plays his
right, the little person sidekick. Yeah.
Gosh dang, that movie is classic.
That's a big no. So let's just call it even, and we got.
I think I won that game. Did I win? Hey,
no, I don't think you did because we each had one. We each had one steal. I think.
Oh, you're right. I think we equaled out.
All right, so this is a first in, because I like doing the first ins, because this is fun. This is great. This is for both of you.
Okay. This is where Scott's brain breaks, and he just goes,
Scott goes, I don't know.
Yeah. And then we both break our brains, and she can't come up with freaking Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
All right, this is the tiebreaker number 15. What is the name of the production company known for its seasonal stop-motion animation television specials in the 60s and 70s?
That is the Rankin Bass.
That is correct.
Shit. All I could think of was the...
Right.
You know what I was thinking of is the weed smoking one. The live the puppet guys.
Oh, the Croft. Sid and Marty Croft.
Yeah, yes. The Croft one is what I was thinking. Brian wins. That was a quick. That was good.
Your brain just went off, Scott. Just went. Yeah.
No, I did. I couldn't think, and I didn't want to. I was actually forcing down my tendency to go.
I'm glad you did because halfway through there, I'm like, bank it, break it, break it, bank it, and you would have completely broken me.
That's awesome. All right.
I watched them all the time growing up. We got them in Australia, and they were just so charming and lovely. Yeah. And Arthur Rankin Jr. and Jules Bass.
There you go. Oh, I didn't know
that. Created it. There's a great kind of tribute in the new season of Big Mouth to the Rankin-Bass Christmas specials.
Yeah, I read an interview.
They actually had a tribute to it in Elf.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, very much so.
When he's leaving, you know, and there's the narwhal.
Well, also the snowman. You know, the narrator is kind of the.
Don't forget too the whole Henry Selick. I read an interview with him once, the director of Nightmare Before Christmas. Everyone always thinks Tim Burton directed that movie. He did not. He wrote it and produced it. But those characters are his. But anyway, Henry Selick points at those Rankin Bass things as like the point of inspiration for him. That's what got him where he went. Had it not been for those, he probably wouldn't have got into it. So there you go.
I understand that, because if you grew up with them, they were just iconic and wonderful songs. And, you know, they roped in Burl Ives and Fred Astaire and people like that to do the voices. And that they were just part of Christmas to me. A Christmas Story, the movie, was not big here in Australia. That's why when we podcasted that, it did really well overseas, especially in America. It didn't do well here in Australia at all.
Mm. Well, that's interesting.
Because people just didn't know that movie. But I grew up with it. We got it on VHS. So, you know, we were very Americanized growing up.
Yeah. I love the Heat Miser. He's my man.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's Mr. Fun or however it went. Well, all right. Hey, tell people where your show is.
The songs.
tell people where your show is so they can find it. On the internet.
Where is my show? Well, I've been taking a break for the last week, but we are the Retro Cinema Podcast. You can just type us into Google. You find us on every single one of your platforms. Our episode 238, we did UHF or video from UHF, which I love.
Yeah.
Our next episode was the top 10 funniest films of the 80s, and that was a hell of a challenge. Because I had about 25 of them, had to whittle them down to 10. And out tonight, I was off, so it's my neighbor, Toretto, with Angry Man.
Oh, my neighbor, Totoro,
Toretto, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, Toretto, so, Toretto.
They're all on Retro Cinema. Toretto.
Toretto. Yeah, no worries. Have a good one. You're all I lost her.
Oh, wow. Yeah, she was breaking up something bad there.
She was
better let her know that we didn't just hang up on her.
Yeah, that was not going well toward the end. I don't know what happened to her internet. I blame the colonel. Also, Mark, this is the day I learned that she was divorced. I had no idea. I didn't know she had
husband before
this. I don't know why I didn't know that. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, my sister Wendy will be here. We're going to talk some stuff. So be prepared and get ready. But we got to do a song before that. Can you play that song before we go?
I can. As a matter of fact, that song I even introed yesterday accidentally. I gave you the wrong song yesterday.
Oh, everyone thinks I screwed it up. Now it makes sense.
It was absolutely me. It was totally me. I gave you I Don't Want to Go to Mars by a band called White Lies from their brand new album, As I Try Not to Fall Apart. So,
it all worked out because I've heard from three people who really liked the song, even though they were confused. They loved it.
Yes.
So.
Good. Well, now they know who it is. It's White Lies. Yeah. I Don't Want to Go to Mars from there As I Tried It Not to Fall Apart from yesterday. Today we're going to play the song I introed yesterday, which is Hooray for the Riff Raff from her upcoming album, Life on Earth. Here is Rhododendron.
That sounds awesome. Let's play it. We'll be right back with Wendy. Stay tuned.
Rhododendron, I can hear you speaking. bully, bully's barricade. Rhododendron, oh, I can't look back. I lost it all.
Getting boxes in the mail, so do you. We all do. This winter, upgrade your daily routine with Bespoke Post and their new seasonal lineup of must-have boxes of awesome collections. From winter cocktails to cozy threads and camping gear essentials, Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life, no matter what you're really into. So to get started, here's all you got to do is you go take this quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right box for you. Super simple. I did it myself. Nothing to it. They release new boxes every month across many different categories, and it's free to sign up. And you can skip a month or cancel anytime. That's the other nice thing about it. I like when services like this do that. Each box costs $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. So it's a heck of a deal. Plus, with each box of awesome, you're supporting small businesses. 90% of everything that comes in your box of awesome is from a small, up-and-coming brand. I love that a lot. As a small, up-and-coming brand myself, I can support this. Your favorite box of awesome items will vary, right? Some of you are going to like some things. Some of you are going to like other things. I love it all, okay? There's nothing in here I haven't enjoyed, and it's really, really great. So I am excited to receive my next box of awesome, and you will be too. To get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up, go to boxofawesome.com and enter the promo code TMS at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, and that promo code TMS at checkout. Do it today.
I bought a real Christmas tree this year. The guy asked if I was going to put it up myself. I said, no, I'm going to put it in the living room.
Apple ciders for idiots.
The Morning Stream. Because knowing is half the battle.
All right, we're back, everybody. That song again was.
That song again was, finally, Hooray for the Riff Raff and her song Rhododendron from her upcoming album, which comes out in February, Life on Earth. I did just hear from Gidget. They had a blackout. So.
Well, that would explain it.
Yes, that good timing.
Okay, though. Yeah, really good timing, I would say.
Yeah. I think somebody finally figured out how to end that segment.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Well, good news, everybody. Everyone knows it's Wendy. My sister Wendy, who I assume you're back from Tennessee. Yeah, you were visiting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
You're back. And that's good because your internet there was bad. You had bad internet there.
I know. And you know, it's embarrassing, but we couldn't find the internet to the house and the password. So I was just using a phone.
Oh, you were using phone. Oh, that's
and
hilarious.
And the second we were done, we found it. Oh. I mean, the second I was done. So,
beautiful.
Of course.
That was
yeah,
brilliant.
I was anyway, on a...
Thank you for joining us. That was really fun to have
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was really fun. Wendy had one of her Real Steps kind of all hands meetings with everybody. And it was super fun to do that. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
We should get Brian in there sometime. He'd really, I think, have
yeah, Brian, you can come.
We should probably use it. Yeah.
Yeah. it's really cool. Well, good. And then Thanksgiving in Tennessee is all it's cracked up to be, or what?
Yeah, it was really lovely. That's a very beautiful city. It was only 2 degrees warmer than here.
Oh,
well, that was a waste.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a little cold snap.
Yeah.
You weren't planning going there just for the heat, though, fortunately.
Yeah. No, I mean, I kind of figured it would get something, but they were like, ooh, sorry, this week's terrible. We're like, oh, you're kidding.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad nobody got Omicron while you were there, right? Everything's fine? No Omicron? You're good?
No.
Okay.
But we just this morning, there's a case of Omicron in the Minnesota. So
oh, no.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's probably everywhere, and people are just now, you know, that's how this stuff goes. 2 weeks ago, somebody got it, and now they're just finding out they have it.
Stay safe, Zoe brings bacon. Holy cow.
Yeah, she's traveling here from Europe, and hopefully she'll be okay. Real quick here. So everybody, we went to Misha's house for Thanksgiving early.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've heard about this, but Thatcher's kids both had like RSV level illnesses of some sort.
Oh.
Not COVID, but just, you know, some awful kid
just
thing.
Sick, yeah.
And I think we were all like, ah, no, they're kids. We're not going to catch whatever these kids got. Everybody got really sick. Mom's been down for like 10 days. She's doing much better today. But
I heard her voice is awful.
Yeah, she got pretty banged up. I mean, she's 82. That's what happens when you're 82. But I got really sick. I'm just now feeling better. Kim last night started to get it. Carter's still okay. But like Ken, Misha... most everybody got this thing that was like the worst stupid cold. And then, you know, people are getting tested for COVID because they don't know for sure. And then they're coming back negative and it's just a bad cold because those never went away. And it's been real fun. It's a good time to be alive. It's great.
Yeah. Glad I was in Nashville.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
But you know how you've got some good stories about family get togethers where then everyone gets sick. It's usually everyone barfing that weekend, but
yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. I will not do that ever again.
Nope. Bad times. All right.
Serious trauma.
It's good to have you here. We're going to do our usual Therapy Thursday thing. For those that don't know, and you're here for the first time, there's always a few of you. Wendy is an actual therapist. She helps people with real problems all the time, comes on Thursdays, and donates some of her time to help you with your questions. Like this email we got from, they didn't say if we could say, they used their name, but they didn't say we shouldn't. So I just won't. I'll err on the side of no.
Okay.
C&M is what we'll call them. Hi, Scott, Brian, and Wendy. My husband and I have started the process of fostering children. Part of the process is learning how to work with a child with trauma, recognize their triggers, and promote a safe environment for their special needs. It is pretty full on, but I feel we have the tools to succeed with these children. My question for you guys is this. After diffusing and settling down a breakdown / tantrum, what can we do to settle ourselves down? We're both empathetic people and feel other people's pain. So what tools can we use to avoid us taking on their trauma, reset, and be 100% present for the kid? Thanks so much for what you guys do, C&M. Well, first of all, I think it's rad that they're doing this.
For sure.
Yeah.
More people should, or if they can, or could. It's not for everybody, but people who are in a place where they can do this, I think is a really noble thing to do for kids and teens especially. So part of what you're going to say today may even depend on the age here, I assume. Age always has a big factor in this stuff, right? With these kids?
Yeah. Yeah, do they don't mention anything
they don't say
about
yeah. They don't say.
Did they mention how many?
They just said started process of fostering kids, plural, but they didn't say how many plural they mean. And also,
right, and it comes and goes, right? Like, right. I assume what they're referring to, and I don't know for sure, but it's sort of like you're ready and open, and then when a kid comes up in the system, they ask you, they see if it's a fit, and sometimes that's more than one, sometimes that's be right. So that was kind of what I was saying.
Yeah, I assume so. But it would be good to know if like they're bringing in a 16-year-old first, or if they're if this is a 3-year, 4-year-old, or you know, because it's so different.
Yeah, the requirement on them will be very different. I think and they didn't say if they had other children or children previously or anything like
none
that.
None of that. No.
Well, so I think what's tricky is if I that would be an interesting thing because I'll speak to actually both. If you've had your own children or you still have children at home, that's kind of a whole nother bag. You've already learned to not take care of yourself very well. So you're ready. You're fine. No, and it would just be like an added layer of needs and stress and management stuff that you just maybe haven't done before. And so, you know, the learning curve is going to be steep no matter what. But if you have not had any children, that's kind of the sense I get that there are no children previously. But is that you go from like quiet, peaceful, you can read a book when you want to not. And kind of regardless of the age of the kids coming in, you're going to still feel that, especially if you're very empathetic, right? You're still going to feel they're in the house. You're going to be wondering if they're okay and checking in the, you know, doing all sorts of things. And the first thing to go, ask anyone who has ever had deadlines or stress or, you know, lived a life, is that the first thing to go is just what usually you need to balance and ground yourself.
Yeah.
And so, you know, kind of starting with that idea that, you need to build in before any kid shows up because every kid's going to acquire something different, right? You might have a kid who's sullen and quiet and sort of, you know, you're trying to draw them out or just trying to help them connect. That's a very different requirement than a kid who's breaking stuff or, you know, like angry or just like emoting out rather than emoting in. And so, you know, all sorts of options are going to be thrown at you. And so before any of that even occurs, I think often it's like catch up after it starts is to kind of think, you know, and I'm sure they're getting some training in this too, but just how to prep the both of you in where is the space and time to ground yourself, to reset, to take a break, that kind of thing. So sort of think of it, you know, you've have to have a time out for yourself. Mm-hmm. And what does that look like? And most people only finally get to a timeout space when they're desperate for one, but to build one in when before anything occurs could be really powerful. Mm-hmm. So that might look like, you know, sort of sitting down and asking each other, what are the things that help you feel stable or grounded? And you know, maybe one of you, it's, you know, practicing yoga or going out with some friends playing cards or, you know, whatever those things might be, like draw an exhaustive list of all the things that feel good and, you know, keep you calm or whatever. Because, you know, you might say, oh, I'd love to sit down and watch a series, you know, together. Mm-hmm. That may be totally disrupted. So right. You can't just have one option is what I'm saying. Right. Like every night I think, oh my gosh, teenagers, like, why don't they sleep? Like, what's wrong with it? I just want to go to bed. They're just up late, always, mm-hmm. always up late, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you still have to get up early. So if you have just, oh, we like to watch a show together, you're in big, big trouble. So get an exhaustive list of what you as individuals enjoy that feels calm and soothing, and then sort of figure out how to plant those into the week no matter what, right? And we've said this on the show 1,000 times, everyone's heard this, where you know, you're in the airplane, you put the mask on yourself before you put a mask on someone else. That's what we're talking about here. Like, and it has to be done in small increments. It has to be effective. And most people don't plan for this. Usually it's like, I got it. And then this stuff will get difficult. And, you know, you don't have a prepaid on the calendar massage. Like, you might need that. And so if those were in place, it can just really ease the transition. Mm-hmm. And then how they interact with one another. So there's kind of twofold here. One is individually, what does, because they're different, right? One might need more outdoor time. The other one might need more alone time or whatever it might be. So kind of coming up with, and how to support each other in getting those individual needs met. And then the other being the couple energy that's going to come at them. So I'm still going, assuming they have not had children of their own. I don't know if they're familiar with that face most parents make. Mm. It's called your soul is being sucked by a child.
Yeah.
And that's hard to partner in the same way, right? And you guys are being thrown in the deep end. This is not, we're starting with sleep deprivation with a newborn, which is also being thrown in the deep end, let's be honest. But yeah, so there is some, what is the couple going to be doing as a couple to make sure they're grounded in their relationship and it isn't all about kids all the time. That is so tempting, especially when these kids have been traumatized and need so much. This is true if your kid is like boring, happy-go-lucky, and if this kid is a traumatized foster kid, is the couple will suffer. And so it's figuring out how to minimize that suffering, and usually it's because of time or whatever it might be, right? And so what do you guys need to do together to make sure you're still solid and okay? So do you guys have any thoughts on that? You've both
well, you bring up that couple energy. So that's like keeping the kid from not feeling ganged up on, right? Is that?
Yeah, it could be. Or just it could also just be that the kid splits the parents. That's very, very common.
Oh, plays one against the other kind of thing.
Yeah. Sure. And so the gang, there's so many versions, right? So there's one, gang up on the kid. Now, mm-hmm. a united front is kind of the best policy here, which is like we both agree and we're both for repeating sure. the same thing, that type of thing. But then also like, I mean, the real concern is more of the dividing of the two, because one of you is softer than the other. It's mm-hmm. just true.
Yeah,
right?
It's good cop,
and
bad
usually
cop.
It can even take turns. It doesn't even have to be the same person.
It's like bad cop, good cop, except a natural version of that. Sort of, you don't have to fake it. You just are that, right?
Yeah.
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 I don't know. I mean, to me, united front sounds like the best policy and the one that you should focus on trying to create. And I don't mean that, because that can be taken as we're both ganging up on the kid and that's going to be the opposite of what a certain kid needs or whatever. But if you're not united, then I just feel like that leads to problems. Like,
it totally does. Yeah.
No matter what's going on.
Let's discuss something really quick. So your own child who has a huge vested interest in you staying married to its mother or its father is weirdly effective at splitting parents. Right?
Right.
And I don't mean it's the kid's fault. I just mean there is some natural inclination to survive that's like, I need to get this candy. Dad'll say yes. Mom will say no. I'm going there, you know? So I don't think it's conscious in any kind of weird way. I just think it is so ubiquitous with children and parents that, you know, something's happening there that you sort of have to manage. I mean, jokingly, we went with some friends to Nashville and I was asking the kids, their kids, like, which parent do they go to for certain reasons? Mm-hmm. It's fun to travel with a therapist because I ask way too inappropriate questions, right? Sure. In front of my friend, of course, she was laughing, but they were like, well, I always pick my mom because my dad, you know, he's scary. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, why is he scary? And they're like, well, if he's distracted, he'll say yes. I mean, the detail with which they could tell me the temperaments of their parents and what they ask when, I mean, mm-hmm. you tell me that they don't know what they're doing. They kind of do. Anyway, but that idea of like, you know, that's happening. Now you take a kid who does not trust you at all. Because this is the baseline. I'm going to be harsher than I need to be here. Just there's a reason.
Right. I get it.
This kid is going to come in and think that you're going to ditch him like everyone else has. And if I get close to you, I'm going to get really hurt. And you're going to come at him with so much love and openness and attention and affection and all those things you have to bring to this table. And they are going to spit at it and throw darts at it and not believe you. That's hard.
Yeah.
Really, really hard. And so the more training you have, the better. The more understanding of trauma, the better. recognizing that trauma creates protection in another human being. The other human being will do whatever it takes to not get hurt like that again. So if you think of what the very nature of a kid in foster care is that someone has literally abandoned them.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, whether that person chose to or not, or there were all the excuses or extenuating circumstances and like legitimate compassionate reasons, doesn't matter. At it, you know, we can feel abandoned by very small things, but this is a kid at a young age that does not feel wanted. And the irony is, we think, okay, make them feel wanted. That's going to work, and maybe for some kids that'll get through. But you do need to be prepared that most of these kids are going to think you're full of crap and you're just doing it for the money, or that your intentions are wrong. And that just is a sign of how much pain there is. So if you're very sensitive, it sounds like these people are, and I think anyone who does this and is, you know, has a heart big enough for this and is open and safe and warm enough, this is going to be difficult, because it will clash with that for sure. And then this is where it can get problematic with the couple. I'm not even saying this kid is trying to divide the two of you. It's that the two of you are then going to be faced with a lot of feelings and experiences, and you're going to have to communicate 10,000 times more than you ever have before, because parenting is tricky, and foster parenting is the trickiest form of parenting. So I am scared, and I don't mean to be scaring them. It's just, this is real. And so the more prepared, and it truly is, the more prepared, the better you're communicating, the more self-care you can implement, you'll make it. And you'll do an amazing job. I have no doubt of that. Mm-hmm. I just think sometimes, like all things, right? We can be naive, and we're hopeful and we're excited, and that's all good. And it gets us to do stuff. And then reality always, you know, is a little trickier. So, and again, they may get the sweetest foster care kid and be like, Wendy's full of crap. And I hope so. Mm-hmm. I hope that's what happens.
Yeah. Well, it might. I mean, the thing I was thinking of is this, like, I was trying to think of my own life. Like, did Kim and I have a pretty united front when it came to each of the kids? And we did, but there was this other nuance to the relationships where Nick knew if he really needed to have a heart to heart with somebody, he'd go to his mom. The girls knew that they'd come to me, and it wasn't because they didn't trust her or he didn't trust me. It's not that. It's just for some reason, the relationship was just that way. The girls liked to come to talk to me about stuff, and Nick liked to go to his mom to talk about stuff. And I'm not even saying this is normally just sort of down gender lines. I don't think it is. I think it just depends on the kid. But my takeaway from that was that it was a good thing that I could offer a different sounding board for them when they needed it. And by that, I just mean a different personality, I guess, to approach or whatever than Kim's. And then the same with her and Nick. And it didn't make us any less united, because we weren't like, oh, yeah, your mom, she's the worst. I'm glad you're talking to me about it. We didn't do that. You know, like, we were still in this together. There's probably a little room for that, but they don't have that relationship yet, right? Like, they're going into this raw, so they don't have they don't know who the good cop is yet. They don't know who the bad cop is, or they don't know the person that has maybe a special understanding of their where they're at in their life or whatever. My brain keeps assuming they're going to be teenagers, and I don't know why I keep doing that.
You're picturing like the hardest case, right?
That's really
difficult.
Yeah.
And the hardest to reach. You know, you'll have better bonding capacity with sort of younger kids. And there's another question here that they didn't answer, which is this foster care to lead to adoption, or is this foster care only? And those are very different things in the sort of long-term outcome or goal, right? So high-risk foster parenting is ultimately that you're taking these kids. They're usually younger, you know, often they're siblings, and the idea is that you'll adopt them. Mm-hmm. And you run the risk of bonding, creating this safety, and then the court's giving the kids back to the parents, and then you're out of these kids you've been open up to. And early in my training, I did a lot of work with kids in these situations. And so I would be the therapist to the kid. We're doing play therapy, you know, sort of working through while they're actively in this, you know, high risk foster care situation, and had a couple of really cool experiences, both in a child being reunited to its family and then a, another child being adopted by this foster couple that was just the most amazing humans I've ever met. And just watching this four-year-old, you know, just her shoulders drop and breathe for the first time in her 4 years of life that she was okay and now she was safe and, you know, like some just really amazing things. And so you have some advantages when they're younger. You also have the disadvantage that is taxing physically and just kind of relentless. I mean, hopefully they'll go to bed by 7 or 8. But like it's a really tough stage. Whereas teenagers, you know, I think your mind's going there because it really is. You have a lot less influence and you're, you know, can be really hard. Teenagers are hard generally.
Yeah, they are.
So, yeah, it's tricky. I think going back to your stories, though, of parents talking to different kids, I think that's another piece to this is nobody thinks they're a bad cop.
Yeah.
Right. No one's running around like, you know, until they know they are. Sometimes they realize in the end, like, yeah, I guess I'm the bad cop. Right. But anyway, the two of them, you know, might just be like, yeah. Great, loving, and you may, just like my dog decided he has favorites in the family. That's what kids will do. They will, they'll sort of lean towards someone they click with or, you know, whatever it might be. And so, you know, being prepared to sort of handle that. I love to recommend everyone go to therapy, but like having someone designated outside of the couple for you to talk to about your stresses with this would also be really helpful.
Yeah,
could be a friend, could be a family member, somebody who's just good at hearing you and not needing to do anything about it and not going to hold it against your partner or the is not going to go, well, you should just not be doing this. Like, that's not the person you need.
Or, well, I'm going to run and tell your parents everything you just said.
Yeah.
Just like, ooh, get a nice neutral therapist that has
not to be the guy who's the, you know, it sounds like I'm just being cheap here, but part of the process of being a foster home and working with the state in this regard, you do get paid for it. It's not a profit industry or anything, but you get paid for it. And, you know, it's a thing. The way I would look at it is I'd go, well, why don't we make part of whatever we're getting paid for this? Part of that is our therapy money. Like, just make that part of the project. And that means that you've got somebody you're seeing regularly. That United Front is happening there. And it's also then happening on the ground where the kids are. And I feel like that would create some positive, just some positive vibes.
Just build it in. Also, I mean, I'm sure there's partial funding. It depends on what state we're talking about here. Some states are more generous than others, but
that's true.
That there is money for the kids to be in therapy and probably are mandated to some extent to be in some type of care or treatment, something. Mm-hmm. It depends. Of course, there's all levels here. Sometimes you're literally rescuing a child from imminent death, right? Yeah. And so there is so much going on there. And so you're going to have it based on different needs and different situations. To really utilize whatever the system is offering, they've done it a long time. There's a lot of good people working in that field who have done some good work and the resources, you know, just tap into them. I think there's a lot. And I mean, think about any parent, right? You just drive home with a baby. You sat through like a 15-minute don't shake your baby video at the hospital. Yeah. That is all that is required.
Yeah.
Is kind of horrifying.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I assume that is not the case with foster parenting and that there is a lot out there. So to really take it in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let it be your guide. Let other people's experience help you. You know, I guarantee there are support groups. I guarantee there's 4 million Facebook groups. That where you can just not be alone as you are doing this really important work. And that includes your normal support system, just like getting everybody on board and, you know, the way of getting your own oxygen mask on is going to be individual for everyone, but it will be more than what you're used to. You're going to need more oxygen than you're used to. This is hiking to the top of the mountain. the air is thin there. Yeah. So, you know, finding cushioning as much as you possibly can, building in breaks where, you know, before you even need the breaks, make sure the breaks are in there. And this is ideal, right? What I'm describing is ideal, and this isn't real world for everybody, but, you know, even just small things to make sure you're taking care of yourselves is going to be important.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that therapist can kind of play, or the friend or whoever, just take some of the burden off the partner of needing, you know, you'll need to talk about things, but also just, it's a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
It's amazing. I want to support them. I don't know how. What can we do?
I don't know. I'm super into families that do this. I know there's probably some examples out there where people are pushing the limits and have 15 kids and are doing it strictly for the money and just have some big wrecked house farm, they don't care about. And
foster farm going.
Yeah, you know? I'm sure these exist. But for the most part, people that do this have good hearts about it and are, you know, really want to help people. And, mm-hmm. you know, I feel that way about adoption and other stuff, too. So it's, I think it's really cool and should be encouraged.
It is. And there's something that this made me think of that is something I would like to do one day. I mean, I have kids at home right now who make me think I should not ever be a parent. No, I mean, you know, it's a humbling moment. So I don't know how I could be helpful yet. There is a big need, and I find this fascinating. This really appeals to me, I think, because I don't want to be around kids, is that you can foster, and it's not in the same way, of course, but you just sort of, there's organizations that connect you to kids who've grown out of the foster system and are just trying to make it in life. And, you know, so maybe they're in school or college, or they're trying to work their jobs, or just like, they just need family. Mm-hmm. And so you can adopt an adult foster kid, mm-hmm. And just have like mentorship kind of, or just like connection. And anyway, so there's different organizations that do that. I thought, it's all relative to however old my kids are. Cause I'm like, oh, I can foster babies. And then I had kids. I'm like, oh no, I could foster teenagers. And then I have teenagers. I'm like, oh, okay. I could take on adults.
The adults is good. Yeah. Right.
And then one day I'll go back to babies. Maybe. I don't know.
Right.
But.
Well, it's a interesting thing. I would really like to hear back from them on how things went. And, not just that, but like, what's the difference? Like if they're going to be some sort of rotation, was it different having a 5-year-old versus a 12-year-old? Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure
or
there is
someone, differences. A kid who's brand new to the system versus being in the system a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
And, yeah. You know, what, I don't know what they're more importantly, like at the end of it all or during it all, I want them to be as non-regretful as possible. You know what I mean? Like you never know quite what you're getting into until you get into it. And I'm just worried it's going to feel like a lot at first. And maybe that therapy is a good way to soften that blow, whatever that blow may be. But yeah, let us know. We love follow-up and hearing how things went.
Amazing.
Speaking of, so Real Steps, I was there for this thing and it was great and I really enjoyed it. And it was after that, I went, man, everybody should do this. It's really great.
You should.
It's really cool. So go read realsteps.org, everybody. Check it out. Oh, real quick, before you go, you got to do a fast interpretation of a dream I had about Brian. Okay, this is real fast.
Okay, was there nudity?
There were sort of.
Mine.
He was shirtless. I'll give him that. anyway, the short of the dream was he was going door to door, house to house, in a long row of houses. One of them was mine. Where you answer the door, Brian's there with a big bag, and he's saying, "I need all your foreskins." And then you'd go in the house, and it all felt very normal in the dream. And you'd give him your foreskins. He put them in his bag, and he'd move on to the next house and do the same thing. And it was like very routine, like picking up garbage or, you know, the recycling guy's here or whatever. It's how it felt in the dream. What do you think any of that
is Wendy,
about?
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck with this one. So, what do you think Brian collecting foreskin means? What's that about?
Wow, you are weird, man.
Yeah.
I have weird dreams. I can't help it. They're weird. They're always
that
weird.
That is interesting.
I mean, it probably means nothing, right? It might just mean I ate. We did have pizza later than we usually would want to last night. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's what I said. Yeah.
Was there crack cocaine on the pizza?
No, as far as I know, it was mod and it was delivered. It's possible the driver was, fiddling with.
Yeah, I have a question.
All right, Brian, you can't talk about pizza. Keep going. Move.
Was Brian his cheery self in the drink?
He was just, it was normal. It was like, hey, but it wasn't like, hey, I haven't seen you in so long. It was like he does this all the time. It was like a very like, oh, there's it's Brian. Round. Here's your foreskin. See you later kind of thing.
Yeah, my diagnosis is don't eat pizza late and you're weird. What's that skin, New Skin? Did you work for New Skin?
No, I did not. New Skin is a multi-level marketing bullcrap company here in Utah that says that if you put lady placenta on your face, you'll Live Forever or
and,
whatever.
They're, and Baby Foreskins.
Yeah, Baby Foreskins. Right. So
I'm just wondering if it was connected. No, okay, no. I don't think so. I don't know. That's
I haven't seen any weird movies. I haven't watched anything that would like spawn any of this. Like,
okay, so let's say you were my client and I had to take you seriously.
Yeah.
I would ask just like generally about life, like, you know, what's going on, and you know, and you can sometimes tie some stressors to certain things, right? Like, it doesn't ever make total sense. Sometimes they're right on the nose and hilarious. Yeah. You know, like, someone's like, what does this dream mean? I'm like, wow, it's exactly what your life is like. And it's not as easy to see it, but this one obviously is harder to see. So I would ask you, you know, so for example, and this, people may notice this too, at different times of their lives, when they're extra stressed or feeling particularly vulnerable, they may have a dream that has a particular theme to it. So that's why we have the very common ones of you went to school naked, or you go to a class that you didn't attend all year and now you have to take the test, or so whatever it might be, you know, so the real question here is not that there's Brian gathering foreskin around the neighborhood, like recycling creeper. It's that, what is the feeling in the dream?
Yeah.
Is the feeling that it's normal?
Yeah.
Or is the feeling distressing? What's, you know?
No, it felt normal. It just felt like, oh, Brian's back. Quick, go get the foreskins.
Oh, Tuesday again. Foreskin day.
Foreskin day. Go get it.
Oh, and my God. Foreskin day again?
Yeah. And it wasn't like a medical procedure. I had to go and, you know, produce the foreskin from me or Nick or any other male members of my household. It was just.
So where'd you get it?
Just, I don't
Hopefully
know.
Like, walked the
in the other room and grabbed it and. Gave it to him. Like, that was very nondescript in the dream. It just sort of was,
it's in the junk drawer. Hold on a second.
Yeah. It's a little like a junk drawer. Yeah. Kind of like that.
Hilarious. Okay. Yeah. So if there's no feeling to it, then there's probably no meaning to it. So that's usually the thread the therapist pulls of, like, okay. Like, you're really bothered, right? Like, people don't usually go to therapy and be like, hey, let's talk about my dreams. Mm. And they're just like, I was driving on a road and nothing happened. I didn't feel anything. Like, you know, that's not interesting and they don't notice, right? Versus nightmares versus themes that are relentless or, you know. So then you can really use
very distressed or angry or scared.
You guys just lean so heavily on the, well, how did that make you feel?
I know. Where do we get this from? I don't even know.
Yeah,
weird.
So instead it's like, what does it mean? Well, Freud might have some ideas, but I don't.
Yeah.
Sometimes a foreskin is just a foreskin.
Yeah. And sometimes a guy carrying a bag of them shirtless and Birkenstocks and brown pants, he's just a normal, it's just a nothing. It doesn't mean anything.
He'd have nothing to say about any of that.
I mean, the thing that made it, if I wouldn't even probably brought it up, maybe I would have, because this show likes dumb stories that I tell, but if it hadn't been Brian, I think it would have been less significant, because I just don't know why it was Brian. Mm-hmm. Like, why is Brian picking up everybody's foreskin?
Brian's so reliable. I mean, he comes on every Thursday. That might be it. Talks to me
without fail. Yeah,
that might be it. He is the least maintenance of anyone I've ever had to work with in my life, and I don't just mean podcasting. Like, I don't have to do anything to work with Brian that's hard. And so maybe that's it. Maybe it's like, even in a world where you got to pick up foreskin every week, Brian is
in
just,
a world.
He's just there.
Brian's the still foreskin. Consistent.
All right. I'm going with that.
It's a compliment. Right. That's what it means. It's just a compliment.
I'll take that.
That's a twisted ass compliment that's based around foreskin.
See, you're welcome. Now pay me.
Well done.
Just kidding.
Yeah, pay Wendy. All right. Well, this has all been great. Realstops.org, of course. And Wendy, I hope you're having a fine holiday season and that you guys don't catch any kind of colds or Omicron. Don't get it. Okay?
No, I'm going to try not to.
Try your best.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
All right. There she goes. There she goes again. Hey, Brian, speaking of going again, there is no Coverville today because you're working on stuff.
No Coverville today. Yeah, basically today I'm going to be shipping a lot of the CD sets that people have been ordering. And I think I need to double check my quantities and see if it's still available. So seven CD Andrew Allen set up on coverville.com/shop. But also the other thing I'm doing is prepping for the two big end of the show or end of year shows that I do, the Coverville Countdown, the 40 best covers of the year. So today's prep on that. It's, you know, the no show. Plus, I'm feeling hazy and weak, and I really just want a taco.
You're running on nothing right now. I know. I shouldn't have brought up pizza. I feel bad. That sounds really good.
I know. I want a pizza. Really, I want anything salty, like tangible pork and rice and whatever.
You need to replenish.
Even a bag of salad right now sounds so good.
Yeah, but, yeah. Maybe even a nice Gatorade. Oh, you're gonna hate those by tonight.
Yeah. I got lime cucumber. I never heard of cucumber lime Gatorade.
Oh, but, I haven't either. I wonder what that's like.
It looked really good. Sounded really good.
You're gonna find out how that is.
I'm gonna find out. Yeah. And really, you know, if it's the worst thing ever, great. I'll never have to drink lime cucumber Gatorade again.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I feel for you. I've done this and I hated it. All right. Exactly. Let's get out of here. Patreon.com/TMS is how you can support this business. If you like doing that, then keep doing that. That'd be awesome. We don't know about a PM tomorrow because it depends on how Brian's doing. Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll check in with him.
And I will keep everyone posted on how I feel.
Yeah. If you're feeling all right, we'll do it. If not, it's okay. We'll skip a week and be good. That's going to do it for us. Send those emails in if you've got dream interpretations or anything else you want to say. TheMorningStream@gmail.com. We will now leave you, but before we do, a song selection from Brian Ibbett's vast library. Brian?
Yes, this is interesting. This is this harkens back to those early days of TMS when we didn't play covers, we played something else to close out the show. Mm-hmm. Demondrin, aka Andrew, wrote in and said, "Hello, Scotch and Bourbon. This can be played whenever you have a space for it. I know many people don't like this song, but I can actually tolerate this version. Thanks for all you do." Signed, Dem, a.k.a. Andrew. Now, I happen to be a fan of the Band-Aid song, "Do They Know It's Christmas," but only a fan of the original. I think every version that they've come out with since then is unlistenable, pandering crap.
Wow. All right. That is a review if I've ever heard one. Wow. All right.
Yes, exactly. That said, this is a mashup done by DJ7. It's a combo of "Do They Know It's Christmas" is "The Power of Love." So obviously it combines "Do They Know It's Christmas" with the Huey Lewis track. Now, I will say this. I don't know what version they used for this mashup, but it ain't the good version. It ain't the Band-Aid version. This is like the... I don't know, like maybe the 20 or the 2000 version, the 20 year anniversary version. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's horrible though. But hey, works in a mashup. So from the Very Booty Christmas Volume 4, here is "Do They Know It's Christmas Is the Power of Love."
This is so great. All right. We're going to play that now and then we're going to leave and then we'll be back Monday for sure. Maybe tomorrow. We'll see. Wish Brian luck. We'll see you then. Change of heart to a little white dove. More than a feeling. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Wear it on your dominant arm.
Okay.
Arm, your dominant arm.
Arm, bro.